Good afternoon, everybody. This is Andy Ballou from Water Tower Research, and I'm pleased to introduce Ian Parker, CTO of Helixa IQ.
Thank you. So what we've created at Helixa IQ is a paradigm shift in how we cool things. And you know, in this particular picture, you can see the data centers that we're focused on right now. The devices that we create are novel in the way that we actually pace heat through the systems. The way we have typically addressed heat issues is we size our cooling devices to the largest possible thermal spike that we will have. We do it different. We don't just react to heat, we actually regulate it and pace it through the system. What that allows us to do is cut the cost of cooling by 70%. We don't have to use these giant devices that you know everybody else has to use. Instead of using a 5-horsepower compressor or 2 5-horsepower compressors, we can use a 3/4-horsepower compressor to do the same thing. What does that mean for a data center? What that means for a data center is that typically these data centers will get a certain amount of energy that's allocated to them. So that's and they have to build that has to cover everything. That covers their energy to run their computing processes, and it covers their cooling capacity as well, right? So if they're building out a campus, let's say they have a campus that's half built out right now because they're already maxed out on their energy costs, we can come in and say, okay, well, we're going to cut your cost of cooling by 70%, and what that allows them to do is now expand that campus and make more money, right? So we're not just cutting the cost of cooling, but allowing them to expand their computing capability as well. Data center market is huge. That's why we're focused on it right now. Obviously, with the explosion of AI, the amount of computing capability that we need in this, on this planet and in this country, is massive, and it's growing exponentially. So finding a way to cool these things is very, very important. What we also eliminate with our devices is cooling towers. And one of the reasons that's important is that Moody's has recently come out and said that if you're using too much water, they're going to downgrade your credit. That's a big deal, obviously, with a lot of these, a lot of these larger companies. And the reason for that is that if you're using too much water, like for example, Google is using too much water in Oregon. They're using almost 70% of the water in a particular town. Well, if the town turns around one day and says, hey, by the way, you can't use that much water, they're going to shut down that facility. That costs Google a lot of money, right? So we eliminate that water usage. We drop that water usage by close to 98%. I won't get into too much of the science, but the idea is that we don't use complicated valves. We don't use complicated control systems. You look at a lot of these chillers, very complex valves, very complex control systems. We use physics, right? It takes a lot of math. It's very math intensive. But once you design it, there's not a lot of moving parts inside of that system. There is basically a compressor, condenser unit, standard single vapor compression cycle, and then there's an energy matrix that we build into it. And that energy matrix is the magic behind the whole thing. And that's what allows us to use the energy matrix not as a battery, but as a resistor, right? So using it as a thermal resistor and not a battery, and that's what allowed us to get patents around all of this, right? So it allows us to be very precise in the way we cool things. We can hit whatever temperatures that we need to hit just by changing the energy matrix gradient, because there's multiple gradients inside of that system. And basically the idea is my compressor wants to see one temperature, and the heat coming in would like to see a different temperature, right? we want to basically let everything see only what it wants to see. If I have 53C coming into 0C, right? I have exponential decay, right? And I have immediate heat loss. But if I have 53C coming into 48C, then I'm controlling the amount of heat flux. I'm controlling how that curve works, right? So the idea is to smooth out that curve, let the compressor condenser unit see what it wants to see. It wants to see zero. It's much happier down there. But my heat load wants to see a higher number, right? So that way I don't push, you know, too much heat flux through my system. So that's what we do. We have some interesting people on board. Chris Miller is the former Secretary of Defense. He's a good friend of mine and colleague. Richard Alloway, he's head of public affairs for our DC area. He's the one that's been helping us get all the data centers. He's the former head of the Republican Party in Pennsylvania. Was three-time state senator over there. Number of other interesting people that we have. Susan Maboya was the head of Coca-Cola Africa, and obviously they have a lot of cooling issues inside Africa. The problem is they can't use dry coolers, right? And they can't, you know, it's just too hot, and, you know, evaporative coolers become problematic there too. So we really solve a lot of problems for them. In terms of manufacturing, we do have an alpha customer. We did sign an alpha customer in August of last year. They paid us to build the initial units. That alpha customer is one of the largest crypto miners, you know, in the world. Can't give you names, but, you know, they're one of the largest in the world. They obviously, with crypto mining, they have a major thermodynamic problem. So we help them with their cooling systems. The other problem they have, this is a kind of a picture of what they have on the ground. That's a dry cooler right there in this picture. You can see how big that thing is. I mean, this is being replaced with something that's, you know, 1/8 of its size, right? These fans, you can't even hear yourself if you're within 100 yards of those things. So, you know, they're getting sued for noise pollution by towns that are a mile away, 2 miles away. So, you know, this eliminates the sound issue. It eliminates, you know, the water usage issue. It drops the power considerably. So in terms of competitive advantages, size, you know, OpEx is, you know, we're cutting OpEx by 70%. Maintenance-wise, we're cutting maintenance significantly. A lot less moving parts. When you see fans like that in this other picture, if I go back to that other picture for a second, you know, these fans, I mean, this requires a significant amount of maintenance, right? Because over the course of time, you have to stop those and actually do some mechanical servicing on them. So, you know, we eliminate a lot of those. We don't have overheating. We don't have, you know, we really don't have a lot of downtime. Just standard maintenance to blow out the units. Go ahead.
So how are you actually doing it?
What's that?
How are you doing it? You know, you're going from 50 to 48 to zero. I mean, I don't understand how you're actually doing it. You know, taking 10 huge fans, and then what are you doing in your two little, like, refrigerators or whatever you want to
do? Sure. So this is convective cooling, right? They're using convection. They're using air, right? They're using two things. They're pushing the air over it to move the heat, right?
Cool air over it, right, okay. Yeah.
What's happening inside of here is conduction. Conduction is far more efficient than convection,
right?
But that's what's happening inside of that box. So basically think of four ice blocks on top of each other. And those four ice blocks, you have one piece of ice that freezes at 48C. That's all the energy that's stored inside of that piece of ice. But it freezes at 48C, not zero, 48. The next one freezes at 37, right? The next one freezes at 24. And then you go down and up until you get down to negative 21, right? So all of these things freeze at different levels. So they all have different latent heat effusion numbers, right? So what we're doing is we're stepping up the latent heat effusion as the heat moves through the system, and we're stepping down the temperatures. And by doing that, that's the part that took a lot of time to figure out, is how do you do that and move the heat through the system? you have to have conducted pathways. And those, combining that conduction, right, conductive pathways with the latent heat of fusion, you know, not as a battery, but as a resistor, that's the magic. And that's what allows you to do it without having valves and control systems that would otherwise be needed.
So they're going through a series of step by step, it's going down, the temperature's going down instead of just 53 to zero.
That's right. Yeah, it's, you're stepping it down carefully. And the heat, think of the heat, the heat is a wave, right? So as that heat hits the system, I want it to slow down before it gets to my compressor, right? I don't want it to hit my compressor immediately. That's what we typically do. But if it hits my compressor immediately, what happens is I have an immediate instantaneous, I have to have an immediate instantaneous response. Instead of that, we're making it waste itself away, slow down, and then we can take it and pace it through the system. We can take it in bite-sized chunks. That's what we're doing. Those are all done by math. So we basically, you tell me what your need is, right? And I go, okay, you have X amount of heat coming into the system. You have 50, let's say you're at 55°C, and you want to get back 45°C. Well, I'm going to step down that gradient in a way that allows me to get you your 45°C right away.
Centigrade.
Right. Yeah. I'm going to get you that right away, right? But in my system, that heat now passes into the conductive part and it wastes itself away through the resistor before it gets to our compressor. And that's, you know, it sounds simple. It took a long time to get there. But it's, you know, the beauty of it is that it's all math based, right? You know, it's physics based. I was just talking to somebody outside and they said, this brings me back to my thermodynamic days. And, you know, I studied engineering in school. This sounds like, you know, thermodynamics 101. It's a little bit more complicated than 101, but it's, you know, it is fairly simplistic, and that, you know, the simplicity is where the beauty of it is.
And your systems are ready to go.
We're taking orders on them now.
Yep. Okay. All right.
So that's where we are right now.
Your intellectual property, your patents, you have one or more, I guess.
We filed four provisionals so far. We'll probably file one more before it's all done. We had this is actually born out of a water harvesting technology. We were freezing water vapor out of the air for water harvesting. And in order to do that, we needed to get really, really good at cooling things.
Right.
And when, you know, the miners came to see us, they went, well, not really interested in the water, but we really like you to cool our water. And I went, okay, well, we can do that. So what happened was, you know, we got the issued patent on the harvesting technology, which does cover some of this, but we've also filed additional patents around it. And we filed, I think we're issued in 8 or 9 countries on the water side, so we'll get the same thing here.
Is anybody else doing anything like this?
No, it's absolutely baffling to some of us, but
okay.
Yeah. After a while, you go, it looks kind of obvious, and then you go, well, nobody's doing it. I mean, a significant amount of research,
right,
which is why we're able to get the claims that we're looking for. I think we have 15 claims in our patent now. The last patent we filed, before, you know, that was a 100-page patent, right, for the water harvesting, and we had 11 claims. We got all 11 claims approved. So, you know, it was a significant amount of research on prior art. So that's how it works. Other questions? We're manufacturing here in the U.S. So we have a group here in the U.S. It's called CMS Thermal. They're out in Long Island. We chose Long Island because obviously, you know, we live here and we wanted to integrate with a team that's on the ground. CMS Thermal has been around about 30, 40 years. They do large tube and shell heat exchangers. So we're talking about something that's kind of a piece of cake for them, right? Mostly, I mean, you know, so we use all domestic parts, domestic companies, right? But, you know, does Tecumseh manufacture all of their compressors here in the U.S.? No, right? that some of them come from Brazil, some of them come from some other places. So yes, there's some international exposure there, but it's not significant. I would say most of it is handled with their U.S. with their U.S. manufacturing, but I can't make that promise on all of the parts. As far as the fab side goes, we fabricate. If you look at this unit, we're fabricating 80% of this in-house, primarily. The electronics, things like that, that's a different story. But most of it's out of like Johnson Controls, that kind of thing, right? So still U.S.-based companies. Can't promise you that their boards are coming from there or their chips are coming from there, but it's still U.S.-based companies.
Sounds like you should have a lot of future business with crypto and all the other things
going on. We've got a lot of interest right now. That's why we're in the process of we're gonna try to get an equity raise done here in the near future, and we need to bring on some application engineers, because people always look at why do you want engineers? No, I don't want engineers. I want application engineers, because that's how the sales process works, right? We have to somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm interested, I have a need. Well, they have to pass through an application engineer so that we understand what their need is, and then that goes to get quoted, right? So the application engineers become a profit center for us.
So what's the timeline look like before you guys really get revenue ramped up?
So I think on the data center side, that's a longer cycle, right? I think we're looking at probably November, December before we have orders and deliveries out there. Probably orders sometime in, let's say, September, right? And then deliveries out in November, December. The MRI and imaging center side, that's popped really fast. I mean, those conversations started maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago, and we already have, purchase agreements that we're negotiating, and those are looking for deliveries in September and October.
Hospitals?
Mostly imaging centers.
Imaging.
Yeah, hospitals are a little bit more challenging to deal with, but the imaging centers are the ones that we've been focused on. We got introduced to one of the mechanical groups. So, I mean, in this particular business, every business has its own nuances to sales channels, right? In this particular business, it's the mechanical groups. The end users don't make these choices, right? The mechanical groups make the choices, make the choices for the options, and then they go to the end user and say, here are your options. We were introduced to the mechanical group. The mechanical group sent in their technicians. The beauty of this is that we actually used standard HVAC equipment. There's other ways to make this. And actually, on the geek side of me, goes, okay, I want to use the really cool tech to make these, but nobody understands it, right? So I can't go, if I introduce that to the market, the technicians can't work on it anymore, right? So we went with standard HVAC equipment, which still gave us industry-leading efficiencies, and that allows us to break into the market because now the technicians can actually work on it. Doesn't change anything they're doing. So September, October, I think we should have some deliveries out there.
Will you be announcing large orders, Catalyst or
Nevada? We will. Yeah, as soon as we get them. And I mean, as soon as when they go past LOI and they go into actual purchase orders, that's when we're going to start announcing them. Any other questions? Well, appreciate your time today. Here you go. So frostpulseiq.com is where the technology, the technology page is. Helixa, helixa.com is where you'll find more information on the public company. It also has some information on our water technology, but we are extraordinarily focused on the cooling technology because that's where we have contracts right now. So we're going to focus on that, for the immediate future. And obviously, if you want information, just the email's here, bh@frostpulseiq.com. Just send us an email. We'll definitely get you out information.
Thank you.
Thank you.